Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the message and song and the presence of the Lord in this place. I trust that you have already just experienced and sensed his presence in this place here this morning. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We're going to be reading verse 19 down to verse 21. If you would, if you're able to stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And again, what a blessing it has already been just being here in your presence. Thank you for making available to us this opportunity to be in church. And now, Father, as we have opened up your word and we've read this brief passage of scripture, and Lord, there's so much connected to this, and I pray that you'd help us, each and every one, to open up our hearts and our minds, stay focused on your word, so that we might receive what you have for us. I just pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want you to underline, if you haven't already done it in your Bible, God meant it unto good. Now, New Testament sister verse that we would all be very familiar with, I'm sure, would be Romans 8:28. When Paul would write, and he says, "And we know," believers need to know, "that all things work together for good." And then he gives a qualification for that. Not everybody, everything does not work together for good. But God's promise is qualified by the next statement: to them that love God. That's huge. To them who are the called according to his purpose. That means the saved. And those that love God and receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You can claim, and we know, that all things work together for good. July is revival month. We established that a couple weeks ago, but revival month. I believe that we studied Jacob last week, and Jacob was revived, and what a blessing it was to see how God had given us the life of Jacob to study. But this morning, God has recorded the life of Joseph for us to learn from. One of the great Bible characters in the Old Testament was Joseph. And what a story concerning living life in a state of revival. And that's what I want you to focus on here. Living life, am I doing that? It's available to you. Living my life in a state or a disposition of mind of revival. Joseph would be able to conquer the troubles and sorrows of life by living in a state of revival. And he would make this statement to his brothers, "As for you, you thought it evil against me." There's evil in the world. Man is not basically good. No, man has an evil nature inside of him, every man. There's evil in the world. And because God has given a free will, God has to allow certain things to happen. God has to allow a person a free will. And that free will of that individual can affect other people. God has to allow certain things, but God does not cause evil, but God allows evil, but God continues to control what he allows to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. "Ye thought it evil against me, but God," and if you will, it says "meant it unto good," but "allowed it unto good" would be the very same thing that we find here. Yeah. Spiritual revival, restoring to life, joy, faith, peace of God. Now, if you're saved, you have the peace of God, peace with God. But just because you have the peace with God, that's salvation. Jesus Christ gave you that. He reconciled you to God. He cleansed you with his precious blood. But just because you have the peace with God does not necessarily mean that you have the peace of God. If you're living in a state of revival, you have joy and you have faith and you have peace of God. You live that way. If you're saved and you don't have that, then you can be, and you need to be revived. You'll not find revival in the scriptures, but you'll find this idea of revived, to bring back to life, to renew. And when you bring back to life, then that is revival. If you're saved, you can be revived, because that means that you have life and you had this idea of peace of God and you have the joy of the Lord and you have the faith that God wants you to have to be saved. You have faith to be saved. So if you're saved and you don't have it, you need to be revived and live in a state of revival to bring back to life, to renew. If you're not saved here this morning, you can be saved and experience it. Once you experience it, truly have salvation and the things that are associated with salvation, your faith and knowing that truth is truth, the Bible is true, there is a heaven, and Jesus Christ loved you and he paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, and he has given to you as a gift everlasting eternal life, reconciliation between you and God the Father. Now you have communication with God the Father, and you pray to God the Father through God the Son in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you have that if you have salvation. Once you experience it, you'll not want to live life without it. Not meaning that you won't find yourself in need of revival from time to time, because you don't have it. You walked away from it. You failed to see the importance of it, to keep that walk with God and that relationship on fire for God. You've walked away from faith. You've walked away from joy. You've walked away from peace of God. When you've done that, you need to have revival. Can I tell you, as we look at what God has recorded for us in the life of Joseph, Joseph had this type of mindset. He had this type of disposition of mind. He was living in a state of revival. That means that he had faith in God. He had peace of God. He had the joy of the Lord in his life. Go back with me to Genesis in chapter 37. Genesis in chapter 37 here, we find that Joseph was Jacob's favorite. Jacob knew that God had plans for the life of Joseph. And because of this, Jacob had put his life into Joseph. He would have been teaching him all about the Abrahamic covenant. He would have been teaching him all about God's plan for the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob's children. How God would have promised to bless them, how God was real, and God had a purpose for the life of Joseph. Chapter 37 and verse 3, now Israel, or this would be Jacob, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. He had a great love for him. And as he poured his heart and his soul into Joseph, then Joseph would call out to God and Joseph would experience visions of the Lord, a personal relationship here. In chapter 37 and verse 9, the Bible says this, and he dreamed yet another dream, and God would speak to them in the Old Testament, especially through dreams and visions. This was part of the Old Testament life of the believers of God and the creator of the universe. And the Bible says, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Joseph had this, and he knew that it was God that was revealing this to him, and it was real to him. He understood that not only was God real, and that he had the joy of the Lord, and he was living a life blessed by God, that God had future plans for his life. Amen. Do you believe that God has a will for your life? Do you believe that God has future plans for your life? As a young boy, I was saved at 8 years of age, and at that moment, I knew that God was real. Jesus Christ became my Savior, and I believed that He had a purpose for my life. And when I was in church and living the way God would have me to live, I had this joy of the Lord, peace of mind. I wanted to walk with God. I wanted to pray. It's only when I got out of the will of God that I started turning away from that, and then I was experiencing things and living a life that was not pleasing to God, and I lost the joy of the Lord to a place where even as a teenager, I actually contemplated ending my life at one point because I lost purpose, that God had future plans for me. I needed revival. I needed to get back to that state of mind, which included faith, joy, purpose of life. Yeah. Joseph had it. 17 years of age, he was living in a state of revival. He was blessed. He had joy. He knew that God had a purpose for his life. He tried to share that with his brothers, not realizing how they were taking it and that they were not taking it very well because they had an evil mindset. But Joseph had a state of revival. But I believe that Joseph would have lost it. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Not what Joseph could have been prepared for. My brothers? My own flesh and blood would throw me into a pit by myself with no water, and I cried out trying to get them to, surely they wouldn't do this to their own flesh and blood. Surely their evil mind would not allow such a thing. So can you imagine Joseph believing in God, believing everything, but then had an evil presence with his brothers and throwing him into a pit. And they would have been very abusive, and they would have been angry and wouldn't listen to him. You thought evil against me. He's trying to figure out, why would you think evil against me? And not only did they throw him in a pit, but then, verse 28, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph is wondering, how can you do this? How can you do such evil against me? How could you sell your own flesh and blood? How can you sell your own brother into slavery? And he's questioning, how could God allow this? I had the peace and the joy of the Lord, and God was revealing to me all these future plans. How does this fit into God's purpose, and how does this fit into God's future plans? How could God, if there is a God, allow such evil to take place? Put yourself in Joseph's place. It would not have been what he thought would take place, that he would ever have to go through anything like this, 17 years of age. Sold into slavery by his own flesh and blood because of evil. Sold to the Ishmaelites. Joseph would have struggled with his brothers and with God. But then we find from what the scriptures revealed to us that Joseph would have experienced revival. Genesis chapter 39 now. Go there with me as we're studying this. Chapter 39, verses 1 through 3. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph, and not only did Joseph know it, but that everyone around him would realize this. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. So we know that Joseph at some point had drawn close to God, for he had the blessings of God. Not only did he personally have the blessings of God, but those around him had witnessed God's blessings upon the life of Joseph. Sometime between being sold to the Ishmaelites, being in that pit all alone, the only one was there with him would have been God. When he sold to the Ishmaelites, the only one that would have been communicating with him was God. And he was traveling away from his home and not knowing what to expect, not knowing what was ahead of him. And then he was sold to Potiphar. And so sometime between being sold to Ishmaelites and being purchased by Potiphar, Joseph would have claimed, God meant it unto good. God has allowed this for good. Even though there was much evil taking place, God was still at work. Joseph would then, because of this mindset of God meant it unto good, Joseph would be once again at peace with God. Joseph would once again have faith in God and have an inner joy in the midst of his trials. As Joseph would face every trial of his life that has been recorded from this point forward, he would face them as God meant it, God allowed it unto good. If you're going to live in a state of revival, can I tell you there's evil all around, and you're going to fight some things, you're going to battle some things, you're going to have trials, and you're going to go through some storms of life. If you're going to maintain this state of revival, you have to believe whatever happens to you, God has to allow it unto good. Change your life. It'll change how you look at things. It'll be what you need when you're all alone, when you're facing hurt, disappointment, tragedy, struggles. Evil's there. And you might meant it for evil. Somebody else might have meant it for evil, but God had to allow it. And if God allowed it in your life, God allowed it for good. Chapter 39, look down to verse 19. Now he is prospering as Potiphar's servant, but you know the story. Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph and wanted Joseph for herself. And Joseph, being the man of God, living in a state of revival, refused. And so now, because she was shunned, she lied against Joseph. In verse 19, and it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me. And his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. How would he be able to face being placed in prison when he'd done nothing wrong? He had just been the Christian man that God wanted him to be, being sticking to his principles and living and making decisions that God would have him to make. And yet God allowed Joseph. Evil was present. Potiphar's wife was evil. She meant it unto evil, but God allowed it for good. Joseph knew that. And Joseph continued in a state of spiritual revival by focusing on, I can't control the evil in this world, but I can control my faith in my God, in my state of mind. I can live in a state of revival no matter what I have to face. And he went to prison with a state of revival. I love that. Yeah. God meant it unto good. Chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. He's going to be with you if you stay in a state of revival. You can have the peace of God. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can keep your faith. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison.
And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it.
Joseph stayed in a state of revival. And because of that, then God blessed him even in prison. Chapter 40, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now he's just not knowing what's going to take place, but he knows that God has a purpose and God is working in his life for something good. And he hears about the butler and the baker that came in to the prison house. And they had dreams. They didn't know how to interpret the dreams. But Joseph knew that God would reveal to him the interpretations. So in verse 6, and Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. He stayed in a state of revival. In a state of revival, he knew that he had connections with God. He had power with God. He knew that he could pray to God, and God would give him whatever it is that he needed to survive and even to flourish, even the prison house. And so he was placed in a situation to where now he has these interpretations, and he looks to God, for he knows that it's got to come from God. God has to reveal the things that he can reveal to the butler and the baker. And somehow God might work through this. And so he looks to God, and he gives the interpretation. And even though the chief butler would not remember Joseph at first, another letdown, another evil mindset. He was thinking only of himself. He was not, even though he promised to remember Joseph, he would not remember Joseph. He would not tell Pharaoh about this man that he met in prison until God worked in Pharaoh's heart by giving Pharaoh dreams, and no one could interpret it. See, even though the chief butler meant it for evil in not passing on the information to Pharaoh, God allowed it for good. In chapter 41, in verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. So we find here that Joseph faces a trial with Pharaoh. Would he share his faith in his God, take a chance that it might offend Pharaoh and their gods? Or would he be faithful to God and realize that God had a purpose and a plan? And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. He was tested. The butler meant it for evil, but God worked it out, and he gave Pharaoh these dreams. And Pharaoh then turns to the butler, and the butler finally tells him, yes, there was a man in prison. And so he calls Joseph. Will Joseph take a stand for God? And let Pharaoh know that it's not me. I can't do it, but my God can do it through me. And so Joseph reveals the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. Chapter 41, verse 16. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this, as a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh would not have understood the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if it were not for Joseph. He had his own gods. But now after Joseph reveals that it's his God that was able to give Pharaoh what Pharaoh would need and the interpretation of it and telling him what he needed to do to be able to survive through this drought that would be coming, this famine that would be coming. Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled, only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. All because Joseph would face his trials in a state, a disposition of revival. See, as Joseph faced all his trials in a state of spiritual revival, the key would be making the right decisions. Making the right decisions in the midst of whatever you have to face. My wife, I talked to her about using her once again, the testimony that she has. My wife was raised in a dysfunctional home. She had two older sisters, and she was the youngest. When she was born, her dad left her mom and those three daughters when she was a baby. Her mother then turned to alcohol. And not only alcohol, but then there would be different men staying with her in the home. She was physically, mentally, and sexually abused for several years. But God had a will for her life. Because God had a will for her life, she would be given opportunities for good to come out of the evil. Can I tell you, anytime there's physical, mental, or sexual abuse of children, it's evil. It's not God's will for that to happen. But God has to allow it. For the free will of man. God has to see beyond it, or he would not allow it if there was not something good that could come out of it. For all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. God sent her a lifeline through a bus captain. A bus captain from an independent fundamental Baptist church wanting to reach children for the cause of Christ knocked on her door, invited her and her sisters to come to church. She made the decision to go. Not only did she make the decision to go to church, but then she realized that she could be saved. There was a God that loved her, and there was a Christ that gave his life to die for her. And by receiving him, she could have everlasting, eternal life, and that she could have purpose for her life, and God could use her and work through her life. And she said, yes. Yes, I want to receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Then she said yes to loving and having a desire to serve her God. And she went to Bible college. And then she came home at the same time that God directed me to that church. And she said yes to being the wife that I needed. She would not have been the wife that I needed if it had not been the experiences that led her to be the person that she was. When she said yes to me. God allowed it unto good. For 43 years, her life has impacted the lives of little girls. Who are now women raising their children in this church. Her darkest years of her life are the ages of her Sunday school class. Those ages was when she was being abused the most. Her burden, that age group, was brought on by evil. But God meant it unto good. How many in this auditorium have been impacted by the life of my wife? Would you just raise your hand? I wish you could see it all over this auditorium. 43 years of ministering to those age girls. God allowed it for good. That same God is working in my life, wants to work in your life. No matter what kind of evil's all around us. We all have to face evil. But if you love God, you're called according to his purpose, God will make sure it all works for good. As long as you make the right decisions, as you have opportunity to choose God. You will choose God as you live in a state of revival. Faith, joy, trust in God. Can I have every head bowed at this point? And do you believe? Do you have faith to believe that God can even work in the middle of evil for good to come out of it? When you have that faith, can I tell you that's revival? No matter what it is you're faced with, no matter what it is you're going through, that is revival. We can all live there. And that's where you need to battle all the evil that might filter into your life. God meant it unto good. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the life of Joseph that we seen as he went through some struggles and he needed revival, and then he lived in this state of revival to save much people alive, to accomplish great and mighty things for the cause of God. Help us likewise to learn from this and have that desire to live in the very same state of spiritual revival. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.